in Podcast Detroit, recording live. Prepare yourself for a hoppy drive. If you're chilling at home, pop that growler and just kick back for the next 2 hours. It's the end of the week, so here's to the weekend. It's Better on Draft with Rob, Matt, Nick, and Ken.
We are live, episode number 201, Better on Draft podcast. Let me get all the mics on.
That would help.
Yeah, well, we talk during the music, we talk before the show, and I don't want any hot mics, you know? We say some interesting things that some people may not want caught.
Like the crazy meme that I saw earlier. That was fun.
Well, we are live in studio, episode 201, after the hangover after 200, for sure. Plenty of beers to be drank today. We do have a guest in studio, but starting to my right... Nick, you are triple fisting over there. So why don't you tell me the one that I'm not drinking that you're drinking?
I know you're not
dark one.
So the dark one. So in the pint glass, I brought Harpoon's Flannel Friday. It's very flannely. And this one's for Rob. This is the banana coconut from. That was my little tribute to Dave Chappelle.
Banana coconut, bitch.
Thank you. From New Holland. And then whatever this thing, I haven't even had a sip of it. The foul-mouthed horse of different color. Supposedly is listed as an alt beer on tap, but it doesn't look like a...
Yeah, that's a lie.
It's a lie.
That's a lie.
Fake news.
As a aficionado of all things alt beer, this is not an alt beer. Next to you, coming in last minute, Matt decided to call. Well, not decided. He was taking a week or two off. Ed, what's up?
What's up?
How are you doing?
It's good. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you, too. What are you drinking over there?
I'm drinking from Crooked Pecker.
You did really emphasize the pecker.
Crooked Pecker out of Cleveland, an ADHDJ pale ale.
There's some interesting people in Cleveland, especially those playing for the Browns.
Yeah, as of late.
within the last 24 night. Hours.
Yes.
Did you see that game by any chance?
I didn't watch it live.
Did you see the fight at least?
Yes, I did.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I went to a concert last night, and while I have a group chat with all my fantasy football for my old high school league, and it just blew up what was going on in that game. And I'm like, all right.
I'm just
mad Nick Chubb didn't get a touchdown.
I'll just say it like this. If you saw the first half of the game, because I actually watched a good chunk of it, that I'm not surprised that actually happened.
Were they kind of
they were kind of playing rough the entire game.
Got it.
Yeah, penalties, unnecessary penalties. It was – I'm kind of not surprised that the game
ended. It was chippy.
It was very chippy. I think the Cleveland Browns had 78 penalty yards in the first half or something like that. And that was their – and that's their season average or some shit like that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Consistency is the hallmark of greatness.
Yeah. Yeah, especially if you're a Browns fan or a Browns supporter or –
I just drop them off at the Super Bowl every day, but that's just me.
And next to you, Rob, what's going on?
Yeah, as far as that game is concerned, the Browns pretty much went all Johnny Lawrence and just wanted to just hurt the Steelers.
Johnny
as
Lawrence.
It was.
And Karate Kid reference.
Pretty much. To me, I guess you could say that the late great Rip Torn would be proud because I dodged all helmets on my way here today. That game was absolutely chippy as hell, as it's supposed to be, because it's AFC North, and that's how that goes. But to me, there was just a lot of targeting and a lot of just utter chippiness that I expect to see during Steelers-Ravens, not Steelers-Browns. Mm.
I will say, I don't know for those that are new to the show, Rob is a Steelers fan.
Till I die.
Till he dies.
All right.
I don't know how you feel about Mason Rudolph.
I feel like
is Mason Rudolph? I know who he is now, but
he's the current quarterback.
Prior, I was like,
current quarterback for Pittsburgh.
Wait, he's the quarterback?
He is the quarterback.
That little dude's the quarterback.
That little dude is the quarterback.
I thought he was
Kyler
just some
Murray's
little,
almost
like,
taller than him.
Like,
what do you think? It was a punter?
I thought he was
not
just
Brad
like
Wing
some
we're talking
Theo Riddick sized running back.
Theo Riddick?
Unless you're Pat McAfee, you don't scrap like that with some guy that size. I mean, honestly, I wish. I mean, there's still more fines and suspension to be handed out. I honestly feel like
both teams got fined $250K.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then three people got suspended.
Miles Garrett got suspended for the rest of the year
and the playoffs, right?
And the playoffs. Yeah. They're not making the playoffs.
But the league said that they're not done. But I mean, for me, I kind of feel like I wish Mason would get a game suspension just because I want to see Devlin Hodges playing under center another week and see how he does. Because Mason just was awful.
But he was.
Maybe they need their old backup to Ben Roethlisberger and bring in Charlie Batch.
Charlie Batch.
Hey, two-time Super Bowl champion, motherfucker. But I guess as far as what I am drinking, we'll get back to beer. I did crack open a Big Bad Baptist Chocolate Rapture.
Oh, shit.
Because this actually is for the peanut butter cup that I had. I was still disappointed, but this is actually doing pretty well. And I just finished the American Pale Ale that Nick had passed around.
The red one?
Whatever it is.
The alt beer.
This is the one that Cam was talking about.
Yeah. Foul mouth.
You know, when people bring up how Charlie Batch is a two-time Super Bowl champion, I remember just all the time against Cleveland, the Cavs fans, that Darko Milicic had more NBA rings than LeBron for a while. That was always a good time.
Yes.
So we do have a guest, though, right next to you. Why don't you introduce yourself, tell us what you do, where you're from.
My name's Doug Meal. I am the head brewer with Big Buck Brewery in Gaylord, Michigan.
Welcome back. So this is actually your second time on Better on Draft. You are on one of the interview bonanza type shows that we did when we did World Expo of Beer. Do you remember what episode you were on?
I don't remember the episode, but I remember I split it with Nick Beard from Sheboygan.
Ah, yes. So you were on episode number 178. So I think you were on the first episode of the first day. So we had you on along with Nick. We had Grand Armory on that episode, Witch's Hat, Fillmore 13, and a company called Rummel Insurance, which is craft beer insurance.
Yeah.
So definitely a good show. Go check that out. Wow, that was only 23 episodes ago.
How many did we make that weekend, though?
Well, we did two full episodes and two halves. So right. 178, 178 and a half, 179, and 179 and a half. Because you guys finished it, because right. I went to go see a comedian that night. I don't remember who I went to see.
Real memorable.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was talking, because last night I went to go see a show. I went to go see Hobo Johnson and the Lovemakers. And that was a great show. Didn't realize it was sold out. So when we left Motor City Gas to head over to the Royal Oak Music Theater, we went and parked in the garage, and the line was all the way around the building. So doors opened at 7. The doors didn't, the line stayed as a line until, 8:39.
Wow.
So when we were sitting at Iron Horse, which is right next door to Royal Oak Music Theater, and we just waited till the line died down. We got in. We missed the first two acts because I wasn't going to wait in line in the cold.
Right.
So we didn't get to see the main act. That's all that matters. So this is your second time on the show. You actually drove all the way down from Gaylord today. Do you have any plans of anywhere to go this, today and tomorrow?
I actually had dinner at Roque. Because I'd never been there before. So I did a flight and tried out the pretzels and get a look at the place because I've never seen it before.
That's a big place for such a, a brewery that kind of spotted up out of nowhere, for sure.
It's definitely got a very unique design on the inside, industrial/fancy parts, and it's
classic rock. It's in there, too.
Well, let's kind of talk about Big Buck, because you guys are, you're the brewer, you're not one of the owners, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so you are part of the new guard, the new owners, you weren't part of them before they were, prior Big Buck, prior to, Auburn Hills Big Buck. So what is the goal of Big Buck in regards to reopening? Like, what was the plan? What's the changes that you guys have made over there?
Well, the plan was kind of to make it more of a Michigan-focused brewery and to really focus, especially first, on our local feel in our community and kind of build out from there. Mm. Make it more about the experience of people than about the sales, and also kind of create, on the beer side, I think, beers that are more opening for people that aren't used to beer. Because Gaylord Market, especially, is more of a macro-focused, Bush Light, PBR drinkers, which nothing wrong with that, that's your thing. But we want to get people to try open up their wheelhouse a little bit. Our beer is more designed for those kind of entry-level craft beers. And then we obviously have more of the higher-end weird ones, too. But we wanted to kind of create that new experience for people to tie in with the old nostalgia. Because I grew up going to Auburn Hills Big Buck, you know, getting the pop they made of the root beer and the bison burger and all that fun stuff, which we still make the pop in-house and everything. So it's kind of bridging the gap between old and new, but making it a new experience for people.
I mean, I remember, you know, season ticket holder for the Lions. My dad's had him since 1980. We were at the Silver Dome. They would advertise the Auburn Hills Big Buck constantly.
Oh, yeah.
And we would drive by it every time, to and from the game, every time. And it's, you know, I guess how did it get to Gaylord, Michigan? Like how did it go from Auburn Hills in this industrial commercial kind of area to somewhere up north in Gaylord? Like how did it get it make its way up there?
Gaylord was actually the original location.
I was going to say it was the OG.
Okay, all right.
I wasn't going to put
No, you. That's why we do a podcast.
just let the guests put them on blast.
Yeah, right.
But I just drink the beer. Okay. Right.
So there actually at the height was actually four locations.
Okay.
You had Gaylord, Auburn Hills, Grand Rapids, and then you had Grapevine, Texas.
Interesting.
The Texas one was a partnership with Bass Pro.
Okay.
Kind of thing out there. And
okay, that kind of makes sense.
And after the second group of owners bought Big Buck, they closed down the other one, sold off the Grapevine, Texas location, and basically ran into the ground is the second group of owners. And then it's been a part of our focus has been trying to get back all those people because there were investors because it was an IPO.
Mm-hmm.
There are Mug Club members. And so there are a lot of people that were really, really took a hit when it went under.
Okay.
And so that's been our thing is trying to get those people back in and give us a chance again because there's people lost money and people weren't happy.
Right.
So it's been one of the difficulties with keeping the name versus trying something different.
But, so who picked it up?
Like their name are Sean and Kathy Smalley.
Okay.
They are actually engineers by trade.
Hell yeah.
But Kathy grew up in the area.
Gaylord.
In Elmira, which is right next to
Gaylord.
Right,
yeah, yeah.
And they wanted to get away from the grind of Lansing and Ann Arbor area, and so they moved up and decided to try to rebrand and open it up. And it's been a learning curve for all of us, you know, because engineers becoming business owners for a restaurant / brewery is, you know, that's their curve, and you know, trying to work our way through all that. But it's been a good ride so far, and they've been doing pretty good on it. So
now I go to Grapevine every year, and I never put the two and two together because there is a brewery where the Bass Pro Shop is now. If you were unaware,
yeah, it's never closed as a brewery. It was like
it's now called Uncle Buck's
Uncle Buck's Steakhouse and Brewery or something like that. It's the same exact building, and they didn't change it.
Yeah, no, it's I'm like oh wow, Grapevine, because this is Big Buck or Big Buck did it. Atwater's talked about it for years about going into the Texas market.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Texas market definitely matches up a little bit more with the Gaylord market. Mm-hmm. Than truly kind of like Auburn Hills, because I think Auburn Hills has a good mixture of everything.
Yeah.
Do you guys plan to expand, or are you guys going to kind of like just stick in Gaylord? Because, I mean, you have prime position right off 75.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just like the Auburn Hills location does too.
Yeah, it was like, when I drove by up there, I was like,
the giant bottle you can't.
Right, the giant bottle.
Yeah, they just sold that too a year or two ago.
Yeah,
I think Powers bought it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Powers bought it, and the hub got a kegerator or something out of whatever they were trading or selling for.
Oh, okay. Well, Powers is right there, so it makes sense.
You know, there's no plans to expand right now. I mean, obviously, every goal as a business owner is to expand and, you know, make more money and all that stuff. But the focus has always been getting Big Buck up to capacity, because that building in Gaylord can theoretically do like 10,000 barrels a year, because it's 80-barrel fermenters, 40-barrel fermenters. It's a 28,000 square foot facility.
Damn.
So the main goal is just to get it up to that point where we have the production to actually expand further. I mean, right now we're in multiple counties. You know, I forgot how many now, but we're in a couple in the UP. Our big area is basically Saginaw Bay City up north of the Mackinac. And we have a couple like Royal Oak. We have one store here in Royal Oak, one in Genesee, one in Saline, Holland.
Okay.
But most of it is Saginaw North.
Right.
Because we self-distro
everything
besides the UP. The UP, we have Marchetti's for the three counties up there just because crossing the bridge, and it's just the travel is too much money to compensate for the beer.
Before was Big Buck and Distro though?
They were initially under the first one.
Okay.
But the second group of owners decided to kind of shy away from that kind of thing, you know, because obviously you make more money on keg sales in-house versus keg sales out of house.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, expansion can happen not just in a location but also with your footprint. Yeah.
And that's like the brewery already is set up for such a big giant. It's a 20-barrel brewery.
Right,
house.
Right.
So, like, we can, like, we're going to probably hit 550, 600 barrels this year. And last year we were at 265. So, we've already pretty much doubled our production from last year.
That's
so
awesome.
We're making that growth, but the point has never been to make that growth to where we're going to have issues with our consistency and quality. We want to make sure that our growth is slow, steady, and, long term versus jumping around kind of thing.
Is Gaylord considered like a seasonal area? Or because, I mean, you guys have obviously hunting up there because you're right by like Gaylord State Forest, Atlanta State Forest. So there's places to hunt, places to go.
Are you looking at a map?
Of course I am.
Okay. I was like, damn,
I would be heavily criticized if I did not mention that Gaylord is called the golf mecca of Michigan.
Golf mecca
because we have so many golf courses. We have Treetops, Otsego Club, Gaylord Country Club, and around the area too. There's just so many golf courses up there.
Well, that's it blows my mind because we have in Michigan the like per capita the most public golf courses in the state, and you don't really notice it until you kind of like pay attention a little bit, and you're like, oh wow, there's one there. For being in Gaylord, you guys are literally just in the middle of a craft beer desert.
We're literally I wouldn't say a desert because we do have Snowbell.
I was going to say Snowbell.
And Grayling's got three of them, and they're the next biggest town below us. There's a couple small ones in between, but.
Well, that's still a decent little bit of drive between Grayling and Gaylord.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like.
Once you head north, there's nothing till Sheboygan.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing.
Well,
too.
You do have, which I've been there, which was a fun little place, Burt Lake.
Yeah.
The
Seasons of the North / Burt Lake. Yeah, that little spot.
Yeah, I had more wine there than I had beer, that's for sure. It was a very, very fun little spot to go.
Yeah.
But yeah, you guys, and I mean, Grayling, too, is also almost in its own beer desert, you know, just the three breweries itself. So if you guys, well, you guys can't golf in February, or do people golf in February?
No. So
I was about to say, well, you'd be surprised.
Well, I mean, there are actually some of the golf courses convert disc golf. And use disc golf for the people that are really hardcore.
Yeah, there's a few Sunnybrook golf course down here in Sterling Heights used to be like a disc golf / golf course. But I think Oakland OCC's golf course is a disc golf course too, or disc golf course is a I don't know.
OCC has a golf course. I remember going to Oakland, and Oakland has two, but I know OCC has one.
OU, sorry.
Oakland,
not OCC.
I was about to say, like, I remember playing that course when I was there.
OU.
Those are some good courses.
Yeah, I've been just because I've been traveling the country a lot, I've been using UDisc, and I load up, where's the nearest disc golf course I look at? Because people update how the course is based on, like, the weather, if trashy. And people are really honest about if it's a hard course or, be prepared, bring a fishing rod to get your disc, those kinds of things. I actually when I played in Dallas this year, it was the first time I ever saw a rattlesnake person. And
I ain't getting that disc back.
It was like 100 outside, so the guy wasn't the snake was not in the mood to hang out in the sun. The guy I was with actually, so he lost his disc. He told me to play through, and I kind of threw my disc towards where he lost it, so I tried to look for his disc.
That's nice of you.
Well, you kind of give a second eyes, and because you can stare at the trees for so long and you go blind. And then I have all flash discs, like bright pink, bright yellow. And he's like, I wanted all my putters to be black and all my drivers to be black and all my putters to be this color. I'm like, no, I just don't want to lose discs.
That's so progressive of him.
In the 24 hole course, he lost like four discs. And I'm like, I don't know what to do with that.
I mean, that's like almost like 60, 70 bucks.
Right? I was going to say, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, what is your beer of choice while you're discing? I mean, I would never condone drinking in public, on public lands. But if you were to drink while you were playing disc golf.
Oh, man. That's a tough one. I don't really drink when I disc. When I'm on the golf course, I'll drink.
Golf course then.
Well, usually, I'm not smuggling beers in because that's not allowed.
No.
So, Two-Hearted or All Day or something like that. Some IPA that's kind of simple. Or, Or, you know, screwdrivers.
I go with some. I want something citrusy. Like, I love a Leinenkugel or a... You know, I know as much as it's not craft beer, but I want when it's hot and it's like I'm outside in the sun, mm-hmm. I want something nice, crisp, easy to drink. And I can't do like a light lager because it just has that beer flavored beer taste. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want just something tasteful. So definitely something a little bit more fruity, citrusy, easy to drink. Like I would love Soft Parade. Like I could crush
or the Shandy.
Yeah, the Soft Parade Shandy too. Yeah. Yeah.
Because you might get a little messed up with Soft Parade.
I was about to say,
I've already 8%. Tilted that down slowly but surely. It was
with
like
the Shandy,
11.
Right. Yeah,
originally,
yeah.
Now even the original version is now like, what, a 7.5, 8?
7.8, yeah.
Yeah.
Versus
yeah.
being a 11, yeah. so whatever it was originally.
Along with golf, what brings people up to Gaylord?
Gaylord is, besides being golf, and obviously we have a ton of lakes up there, so a lot of fishing and boating. In the wintertime, though, we have a ton of snowmobile trails. Like we have Trail 7, which is one of the main trails in the area, is actually on the Big Buck property. So you actually trail right by the windows where the brew house is, and you could park right at the brewery and walk right in.
That's cool.
Park your snowmobile like
yeah.
right there.
And then obviously hunting you mentioned, ice fishing, stuff like that. But, you know, obviously like most areas up there, when the winter hits, it all depends. If you don't get the right kind of snow, people aren't up there for skiing or snowmobiling or boarding.
Where's the nearest hill?
Treetops has one. And,
oh, do they really?
And Boyne Mountain. Obviously, the bigger one
yeah,
is
I know
Boyne,
Boyne
Mountain.
Yeah,
but Treetops does have one and ski lifts and stuff like that, too. So
what's that?
Treetops does have, like, a ski lift with theirs and
oh, okay.
stuff like that. I don't know how extensive it is. I'm not really a skier. I grew up in Florida, so I don't really like the cold.
And yet, you chose Gaylord.
You're Michigan.
I obviously like to suffer.
Brew more beer.
Well, you know, it's easier to warm up. And it's hot, harder to cool down when it's 95
yes.
degrees and 95% humidity all the
right.
time.
You can only true. Take off so many layers.
And Florida's been ruined by people moving down there.
Old people.
Yeah. And
boomers.
Also sea level.
I mean, it is people usually from Michigan moving down there. Michigan and Canada.
Yeah.
No, that's,
yeah.
that's on the Gulf Coast. That's the good side. It's the East Coast I grew up on. That's where you get all the New Yorkers and people from Jersey. And
Jersey.
And they're like
East
buying
Coast.
A property.
So you're,
and,
you're Merritt Island.
I was
Orlando area.
I'm further south. I'm like north of Miami, like west.
Isn't Orlando in the middle?
No, Orlando's at the top right.
Yeah, or like Orlando's like about a Georgia. Half hour drive from the water because you basically
because Disney owns everything.
Yeah,
you have to go around Disney to get to water.
When I
unless you go to Disney and then there's water.
I flew into Orlando a couple years ago and had to drive over to Merritt Island and. By the time I got there, because I had to fly on the next flight over, and of course that flight got delayed. So I'm like, all right, well, I guess I'll get there when I get there. But that's actually where I learned where A1A is, Beechwood Avenue.
Oh, okay.
I grew up. I was only about 8 miles from A1A.
Wow.
So. Hey, Rob Van Winkle.
So I cracked open the alt beer, and
that did go around.
I like it.
Yeah. It's,
what's the name of it?
It's Alpine Alt. Just because Gaylord is known as the Alpine Village. We have a sister city in Switzerland.
Oh, cool.
And so, like I said, when we first opened up, and we were working on the building before we were open. Everyone was bringing their own beer in to kind of drink after work, and so there was a lot of bush and stuff like that there. And we found out that the owners lived in Dusseldorf, and it's like, let's go make them a beer so we can have our own beer to drink when we're working. And so we made a small batch of it, and it was gone in like 2 weeks. So
we're
like, all right, that's one of our big beers we got to make once we open up. And, you know, granted, alt beers are pretty hard to sell in the market because people don't really know what alt beer is.
Yeah, there's two really big alt beers that people don't even know are alt beers. Because they're both labeled as ambers.
Lighthouse?
Lighthouse
yeah.
and Alaskan. Oh,
that's right, the Alaskan.
Alaskan amber is an alt beer.
Yeah.
And it says it right on there, too. Yeah. And nobody, they just think amber red. But
American red?
That is not an alt beer.
I used to brew at Sheboygan. That Lighthouse amber, that malt bill, when you mash in, is one of the best smelling things in the world.
Oh, nice.
Walking in on that day is like, oh, God.
I tell you what, I did not enjoy my trip to Sheboygan. I was
the city or the brewery?
The brewery itself. I do like the beer, but the beers that weren't their standards that I've had before, nothing really like I going to be fair, that was probably the sixth brewery I was at that day.
It's a lot of travel time to get to Sheboygan for a brewery.
right.
Well, that's, I mean, you have to stop at breweries on the way up there.
Oh, to go to the UP again.
Yeah. Because I actually went into St. Ignace. So I stopped at Beer to Mac before I crossed the bridge.
Their food is killer.
And I stopped at, I think, one of like the hotels right in the city to sleep for an hour or two before I cross the bridge because I'm like, I ain't doing this. Yeah, Sheboygan, that whole trip, because that's where I went to Burt Lake. Oh, yeah. I wound up going to Snowbelt. I didn't go to I don't think Big Buck. That might have been when
it
Big Buck
be
was
that
closed.
Time, but yeah. I was at Snowbelt the other night for a business after hours. So, I mean, I have a good relationship with Nate. He's a friend of mine. So.
I was going to say, yeah, how does that work with two breweries within close proximity?
Well, me and Nate used to work at the factory in town together.
Okay.
And so he left to start Snowbelt, and I left to go to Sheboygan. And we've kind of, when we were working together, we always talked about homebrew recipes, and it's a really kind of different market since they're like right in downtown, and they have music like every Friday. They're a little more of the younger, kind of trendier kind of crowd, and they do like New England's, and because they have a smaller system, so they can cycle through stuff faster. Like our system is 20, so, and ours is a 300 person restaurant, so we usually get the bigger groups and the older demographic who, you know, want to sit down with the family and that kind of stuff, and so it's. We can fit both markets because there's enough people in town, and people go back and forth depending on kind of what they're in the mood for. So it's not too bad.
Did you open Tree Stand?
I did for me. I have another one right here,
though. Oh, okay. I saw it open. I was like,
yeah.
Bring that around.
All right.
What is Tree Stand?
Tree Stand is our 3.7% Bohemian Pilsner. It's basically we designed it to be a deer camp beer.
So it's Stroh's.
No. Stroh's is not a deer camp beer, at least not where I'm at. You don't see the giant orange boxes of Busch Light that say Buck Hunter on it?
Oh, jeez.
I mean, that's Big Buck Hunter. I'm sorry, it says Big Buck Hunter, which I'm not very happy about, but I can't do much about that.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
What, you don't want to go up against Anheuser-Busch's lawyers?
No, I don't.
I mean, it does seem kind of like one of those cease and desist things that, you know, we've seen from the likes of Bell's or Dogfish Adams. You see those things where it's like somebody comes so close to one of the bigger craft breweries that all of a sudden they're sending their lawyers at you. And when you're too small to go after them, it feels like you're just kind of being bullied in a way.
Yeah, when they can do four motions and hold up something in court probably for 3 months and you're paying lawyer fees for 3 months as a small brewery versus a big brewery, that's a big difference in pocket change right there.
Yeah.
And I mean, the way the branding is, it says Big Buck Hunter and then it says the video game underneath it. So it's there's a Big Buck Game Hunter, and so it's very close where if you're willing to fight it, you probably could win. But at the same time, it's like, do you really want to spend 6 months to a year like Stone has been doing against Keystone?
Oh, against Keystone?
Taken.
Oh, I mean, right. True.
And that would
Stone's
be the one.
A much, much bigger brewery. They're one of the bigger ones in the country.
Yeah,
so.
And I mean, that would be the one to point to because, I mean, there's been cease and desist letters for less.
Yeah.
for much less.
I was actually checking to see if there is an update, and there hasn't been any update since March 2019.
To what the Stone, Keystone?
Yeah, Stone, Keystone. This has been going
from
on
I understand,
for
Keystone got the cease and desist. They can't use it.
Almost 2 years.
From what I remember hearing a couple months ago. But
I don't think they stopped. I'm pretty sure they might have changed the label because that's all it was a label issue. The C&D wasn't on Keystone. It was on the Stone. The
Stone part, yeah.
The Stone part because it was potentially confusion in the marketplace.
Yeah. Am I kind of hazy? Is it Miller and Anheuser or is it Miller?
It's Miller Coors.
Miller Coors, because one of those is they didn't give all the information in the court case, and so that's what happened where the judge was like, you withheld evidence. And I'm not sure if that was the Miller Bud Light fight or if that was the Miller Stone fight. I don't remember.
Yeah, so in the United States, Miller Coors is separated from Anheuser-Busch. I believe that's the United States and Canada. But then it gets really, really foggy because like Labatt is part of that whole thing and Constellation owns Labatt in some places. And I couldn't tell you who owns who and where and why. Like it's got to be like a bunch of red lines. Like
it's like a distributor map.
Yeah. if in America, this company is separate from this company, but if you're in Canada, Labatt is on its own. Yeah. It's definitely a little bit crazy. What is a beer from your homebrew recipes that did not scale up that you were kind of disappointed?
I didn't scale it up from I scaled it up from my home to the Nano, which we have a one-barrel Nano system.
Okay.
And then we have the 20-barrel brew house. And I made an Irish foreign stout for St. Patty's Day called Irish Dropkick, where I used marshmallows and then I soaked the cocoa nibs in Jameson Aged it on that. Damn. And so it was kind of like an Irish car bomb.
Sure, yeah.
But the cost of scaling up that cocoa nib Jameson was just a little too much money.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like that, the porter I brought the Moonless Night with the marshmallows, we took the marshmallow component and moved it into that beer. And we had another stout that had the vanilla X, and we kind of just merged those two together in one.
Okay.
So I have fun, but I typically design most of the small batch beers so that they are scalable, or at least cost-effectively scalable.
Mm.
Unless I do something once in a while where I'm just like, yeah, this is, 8 pounds of peanut butter and we lost half the beer. Why not?
What I've been noticing a lot of is there have been companies like Motor City Gas has been buying keg mistakes from breweries. And what they've been doing is they've been taking it and distilling it.
Oh, yeah.
So they have coming out next week, which I'm going to bring on the show, Bolt 11 or Bolt 12, which is going to be from one of Axel's final kegs. It was one of their pale ales. They also have a Sellerman's keg that they're turning into a brandy.
Really?
So I got to taste the brandy last night, so shout out. I don't know the name of the bartender. I think he's actually the distiller over there, by the way he was talking. But shout out to him over there at Motor City Gas to allow me to try that. I did not get any brandy from it, though. Like, it tasted like bourbon. It was the weird. Like, he's like, what did you think? I'm like, oh, it's a pretty good bourbon. He's like, that's a brandy. I'm like, that ain't no brandy. But he knows, obviously, the guys from Sellerman's really well. I actually ran into Andy, who's now at Urban Rest. He was walking down 4th Street when I was heading to the concert. You could see him because, obviously, like most brewers, he was wearing shorts. What was a happy accident maybe that you had at the brewery? Something that you didn't think was going to be as good as it was. It could have been on the nano, could have been on the large scale.
We had when we first started off with this equipment, we had some issues where the mash temp kept on rising up, even though we turned it off. It kept on rising and rising. And so our first version of our milk stout, the mash temp got way too high, and it developed a smoky astringency from all the roasted malts. And it was like, oh, man, we're going to have to dump one of our first beers. This is going to suck. This is 500 gallons of beer. And then, we found a vanilla option, and we put that in there, a vanilla puree versus a vanilla extract. And we let it sit on there for like a week or so, and eventually it just mellowed out the astringency and smokiness and ended up being our snowshoe stout, which people really like the 4% stout with vanilla character to it. And
I was going to say a 4% stout, I'd definitely go for that.
Yeah, I would too. Right.
I love the darker beers, but they're usually always higher on the alcohol content. No. I just can't. Then again, you're talking to the guy who was drinking. I drank a triple last night from Lily's, and it was really good. I hate to admit, living in Metro Detroit all this time, I've never been to Lily's. I've been to every single brewery, including Boston. Over in Royal Oak.
Oh, I've years ago.
Yeah. They're still brewing.
Really?
Yep.
I haven't been there since 2008.
So Jolly Pumpkin took over the front.
Okay.
And they're just bringing in beers. But Boston's brewing in the, used to be called like the Monk Tap Room or something like that. It was behind Boston.
Gotcha.
So I think that's where Boston is now. So Jolly Pumpkin's in the front.
Space, or are they?
Well, it's the same company. It's Northern United Brewers. Northerners.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And so that's how Jolly Pumpkin was able to have another tasting room because Boston had a over 3-barrel brewing system. Or
yeah, something like that. There's rules, regulations.
Yeah, a bunch of new ones.
Different things that definitely not. If Matt was here, he'd be upset and try to, change the laws right now. We're trying to fight the laws.
Fight the laws. I don't know about change, but
I'd like to see the distro law go up a little higher, but.
Well, yeah, because you're doubling, going from 250 to 500 this year. You're probably going to be increasing a little bit, especially if you're going to start, destroying the bars, restaurants, even more so than what you are now.
Yeah.
What do you want to see us mirror what other states are locally, or do you think there just needs to be a little incremental process and maybe because right now on the books. They're trying to change it to 2,000.
I think 2,500. Eastern Market is trying to.
They're
pushing for that.
Yeah.
Do they come down a little bit then?
In-house sales will not count towards that.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
They never did.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, they did. Yes.
Oh yeah, it's total barrel. Oh, it's because it's your production. Your barrel is based on production versus what you sell. And because I know, I'm not sure the exact numbers at Ohio and all the ones, but I know some of those are 5,000, some are 10,000.
No, they're all 20.
Some are no limit,
Ohio's something like a million.
They're all 25. They're all 25,000 and above.
I understand why it's 1,000 for Michigan because of the tiers and all that stuff and the past regulations and all
There's
that.
There's tiers in other states.
Yeah,
too.
I was going
to
say.
But what I'm saying is the strength of what happened versus in Michigan versus other states. And because Michigan's had a big. brewing, you know, industry for a lot faster than like Illinois and Ohio has. Like they're now, not now, but recently.
What's happening in Ohio is what happened to Michigan 3 years ago, yeah. 4 years ago. Like that change, but yeah. Ohio laws. You got to think though. Ohio also had a max ABV cap yeah. just a few years ago that right. Kasich signed yeah. over.
Because I mean that was fixed. Because that was I think it was at the time, and actually we were talking about it where, I can't remember what brewery it was looking into getting into the state, and I almost want to say Evil Twin, but I don't think it was them. But they decided not to go to Ohio.
Oh, yeah, it was a because, brewery.
Yeah, because they just
was it Stone?
It might
because I think they went to North Ooh, Carolina.
Yeah, it might have been.
They were going to go to Ohio, but Ohio wouldn't raise the cap. They had a lot of money was coming from at that time. Yeah. Miller Coors, Molson Coors, whatever it was at yeah. that time.
And I mean, at the time you had well, I've kind of come up with a new name for them now, so now I'm calling them San McGrand Rapids. San McGrand Rapids. They had a version of their 15 State of the Union Breakfast Stout that they had to change the ABV because that normally kicks off here at 12.5%, and they had to make a special batch for Ohio to put it at 11.9%. In order to sell it in Ohio.
Well, what was crazy is, you know what brewery existed during those laws? Was Hoppin' Frog. They do not fuck around with their ABV. Their Shandies are 7%.
Oh, Tequila Turbo? Yes.
Their beers are amazing. Oh, and yeah. I think that was they had the double pumpkin barrel age beer. It was the one time I ever drank like two bombers. And I
you
well, yeah
Damn. Wow
yeah I
it's dedication
I had to rewatch the beginning like four or five episodes of Daredevil because I didn't remember what I watched.
Session
I was at a hotel at working the next day at some trampoline park, and a brilliant idea, by the way. They had a trampoline park and then they had a bar on the second level for the parents to watch and
right
drink.
That's awesome. Horrible
brilliant
that's
idea
genius.
Like
that's genius.
The
just
best...
don't have them jumping around after.
No, well I know there's a weight limit on those trampoline parks. Because I remember somebody wanted to do it for like a birthday party, and I'm like, I don't think I can do it. And I'm pretty sure the weight limit might be like 250 or 225. So yeah, there's not that many people that can, not that many people of my size maybe that can do it. Obviously, because they're 280. I'm you know, speaking of like weight things, I just want to bring up a fun little fact. So they have the Zipa. No. They have the zip line in downtown Vegas that goes all the way down Fremont.
Yep.
So they have a max limit weight of 300, and I'm going back for the first time since I've been under 300.
Get it,
I'm
man.
So
oh,
excited.
Man. Get it. You have now just put the other thing that is going to be part of the goal since I am going in April. I am going to get under that so I can get on that fucking that zip line.
Well, that's the thing is that, and I don't know about you guys, and I'd love to kind of hear you know, your thoughts on not extreme but like more extreme activities. Like, would you guys ever go bungee jumping?
No, nope, we only drink so much Mountain Dew, man. Come on.
That's extreme.
What about, so bungee jumping you wouldn't. You know, zip lining like that, that's not too bad. Because, I mean, even if you fall, mm-hmm. that's probably a few broken bones. You ain't, you know, it ain't like zip lining in a
Amazon.
Yeah.
I think the crazy thing is that I don't think I can do bungee jumping, but I would want to try skydiving.
So skydiving, you ready for the weight limit? Because you got a lot of work to go now. Yeah. 225.
225, okay.
But then how do they do those tandem ones where your first time you're going, it's two people?
That's why you have to be 225.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's why. Okay.
Yeah.
Just get them two shoots. It'll be fine. No, a bungee cord and a chute.
Right?
The plane pull you up. Yeah.
Just leave it attached to the plane. We'll just be dragged.
So my goal is to be under 225 come August of next year for when I go to Dallas. And a buddy of mine who also is trying to lose the weight, we're both going to try to go skydiving.
Should really try a skydive Charlevoix or whatever it is, where you're skydiving, you can actually see like Grand Traverse and Little Traverse Bay as you're coming down to.
Oh, that's
like,
cool.
Wow. There. Supposedly, wow. I have a lot of friends that do that and they say it's really good. I won't because I'm not going to jump out of a perfectly good plane. But
exactly.
They say it's fun.
Right. It's a perfectly good plane.
Okay. Just make sure you don't do that anywhere near Texas Stadium because you'll just drop like all the passes that happen in there.
Let's get the level down. Let's go cliff diving. Rob, you're a swimmer?
Cliff yeah, diving? I'm a swimmer. I don't jump off of rocks.
I mean, it doesn't have to be a rock.
It's cliff diving.
Cliff.
You're dropping off of an excruciatingly large boulder.
What about a tall
below you?
A tall diving board.
I've done that.
I would do that. I mean,
I think I'd do cliff diving.
No.
I think I would.
Ed is not participating.
Like, I think Olympic size is 33 feet.
Yeah.
For something I've like that, because then I am 100% confident that it's just water and a pool floor.
Yeah.
It's like jump cliff diving. It's like I will have that internal discussion with myself, like, is there rocks? Are there rocks? Yeah. Where's the rocks?
Really?
Am I jumping far enough?
And
I
really close to water where there's
like,
animals
away, right?
Right. did I jump far
water,
enough?
Water, rocks, and a really bad wedgie when you land in the water.
You get the wedgie belly like flop. A straight down slide if you're not
yeah.
careful.
I mean,
yeah,
right.
I have seen belly flop competitions. I forgot where I was, but they were like showing belly flop competitions that were happening in like Croatia and shit like that, where they were doing Olympic sized dives and just purposely belly flopping.
That's bad.
No. That's just like those Russian slap fights. Have you seen those?
Oh yeah, I saw another one of that one dude
guy just knocks the hell out of him.
Yeah,
knocks his soul out of his
I think body. he's got to be like the national champion.
It's like
something.
His hands the size of a frying pan, and the other guy waves like as much of his thigh.
Yeah,
and he just boom, and he's like.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I used to do that in college.
So. That was a good slap.
All right, guys. We're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're gonna try some more Big Buck Brewing, and we'll go over the news. As always, our break is sponsored by the Ferndale Set. This is Brother Son.
I'm headed for the city. Trouble in my mind. I'm way too young and pretty. Only have now, so let's make something while we can. I'm headed for the city to make me start again. Got a decision, I wonder. Gotta go, gotta get it. No one day, gotta go, gotta get it.
And we are back, episode 201, Better on Draft podcast. We're in the 200s, folks. With me for nearly every episode has been Rob. Thank you so much. Part-time Nick, you've been all right.
Fuck you.
That's 2 weeks in a row, too.
Well, I told you, I'm out of vacation days, and there's no sports going on.
Two weeks in a row, that almost qualifies you for benefits.
I'm on my wife's benefits because they're a hell of a lot better than...
We might have to add them to the intro, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, then that means that gives us another intro clip for 300.
By the way, I can't say much because obviously my ex used to work for Quicken, and I saw those benefits too.
Yeah.
And I'm like, for $5 more a month, just to add on. Because obviously people who are listening to this show know about benefits. Like you or you plus spouse, like you at your own place and her at her own place should be much, much cheaper, like for insurance and stuff. And I was looking at like her adding me at Quicken, and I'm like, oh my God, that is nothing. And like all the benefits they get too, I'm like, fuck yeah, I'll take advantage of that.
Yeah, I went to go get like eyeglasses like last year, and it was like the first year I was actually on earlier this year. And I'm like, well, how much do I owe? I was getting my car out. They're like, well, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, how much do I owe? It's like, you don't owe anything. I'm like, well, what are you talking about?
It's unheard of.
Pulls out the invoice. It's like, oh, this is covered. Yeah.
Okay. During the break, we mentioned talking about, we were talking like Disney Plus, we were talking Amazon streaming, all these things. Before we go into the news, I kind of want to bring this question to you guys. Would you pay a monthly fee if you had unlimited beer that came with it?
And I've done monthly fees for high end beers, especially rare beers coming to my house from around the world.
These beers would rotate. They wouldn't be high end because obviously they're available to everyone that wants the service.
Yeah.
How much?
Yeah.
How many beers?
Yeah. How much?
Unlimited.
Unlimited beers.
I know there's microbrew clubs where you'll get like you can have a 6-pack membership, 2 6-pack, or you can build your own membership
a week.
Is this like Columbia House?
Columbia House. Yeah. Oh my God! Did you guys ever do Columbia House?
No, yes. My sister and brother-in-law did.
I did Columbia House, and I used to get CDs all the time. My mom's like, why are you doing this? You got to spend this much. And I'm like, no, you just cancel it.
Yeah, yeah, you just make sure you cancel it.
You got to, because it's like you have to do the free penny month or the penny month, and you have to do one more month.
All right. I remember, this is my half-sister. My half-sister and her husband, my brother-in-law, they're all big Dave Matthews Band fans.
Dave.
What would you say? And I was going through it, and this was like, you know, years ago. And then all of a sudden, I find Antichrist Superstar by Marilyn Manson. I'm like, what the hell is this doing in here? Wow. Opened it up, unopened. I'm like, I opened that shit so fast.
So I was probably like 11 or 12 doing Columbia House. And I remember, I'm like, oh, I can get parental advisory CDs without any issues.
Some Ice Cube.
Now, I used to, and this is
fuck that. Back then, that's Two Live Crew.
Two Live Crew.
I remember.
That was early 90s, late 80s.
Kmart used to card people to buy parental advisory because you had to be 16 and up.
No, I got.
Hold on.
Go on.
So I would be like, I'm 16. I don't have a driver's license. I rode my bike here. I don't have like my parents won't let me get a driver's license, and you won't let me buy this CD. Mind you, I'm like 13 at the time. You know, I didn't have this haircut quite yet. But yeah, Nick.
So
we need to crack open a beer,
let's
by the
let's
way.
Get another beer while we tell it.
It's right here. That one's right here.
Okay. Yeah.
Kayak Attack.
All right.
It's good.
Kayak here. So. It's Kmart. Remember the Chef Aid CD for South Park?
Oh, yeah.
It didn't have
chocolate balls.
And, yeah, salty chocolate balls. And
Master P's.
Master P.
Kenny
Guy. Yeah. Crystal Method, Ozzy, and all that. You know.
Yeah.
Jane's Addiction. Slash Perry
anyway,
Taylor.
So
I
got that for Christmas. And my parents, they had the Kmart label on it still. And... It had the parental advisory label on it, but they still censored all the music, like some of the naughty words in it. And then one of my friends in high school had the same disc. He didn't get it from Kmart, unblurred. I'm like, how the hell is your different than mine? And I still had the parental advisory label on it.
Yeah, I don't think I ever had that
issue. I think Kmart
actually
intentionally got censored.
I just wanted like the Offspring album. And
can we talk about how disappointing it would be for Christmas to get the CD you want and it would have been edited versus explicit?
Yes,
like that is the worst. Where you're like,
don't
it's
get
just
me wrong.
What
it was
I
a, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, there were some really good songs on that album.
Oh goodness.
So talk Joe Strummer. About this Kayak Attack.
So yes. Kayak Attack is a honey kolsch with Michigan honey, and we use a guava and grapefruit puree, and we use Eldorado hops. It's meant to be like that really good summer slammer.
Mm-hmm.
5.4%, and it won People's Choice at the World Expo of Beer this year.
Nice.
So we're pretty proud of it. We've made it a lot recently. It's been one of our growing sellers, and we've just canned it 3-4 weeks ago, so it's a relatively new canned product.
I'll be glad to say I did not vote for it. I voted.
You voted for an alt beer from Fillmore 13, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
You were right next to him. I saw that.
I don't know how many times I went over and like snuck my cup over to Bo, and I'm like, "Hey, buddy, what's up? What's going on? I need a quality taste this."
Nice.
I'm trying to think of what Forgotten Ciders had some amazing ciders. If you didn't get a chance to try that over there, they are in. I'm trying to think of what city they're in. They're like over by Loggers and
Saginaw,
Lumber Barons. Yeah, so they're over in Saginaw. Really, really good ciders for sure. Very, very happy. No, World Expo is always one of my favorite events to go to because you get a really good mixture of craft beer fans / people that see Beer Festival in Frankenmuth and we're like, okay, let's go.
Right.
And people don't want to get tanked.
Well, yeah,
yes.
I think a lot of those people are the people that are like, "Oh, Beer Fest, let's go and let's you know let's
and
try
all,
to see."
And they all dress up all crazy, like costumes. And all
well, they get like the Lederhosen on and stuff. Yeah. But I like the fact that there's more than just Michigan beers there. As much as I love Michigan beers and I love the Brewers Guild Fest,
freaking Smirnoff was there.
Hell yeah, I was drinking their seltzers.
That was that red, white, blue berry. Whatever.
Yep.
Yeah.
Their seltzers were probably one of my favorites of the event too. Alaskan was there. There was a few others.
Yeah, there was
Flying Monkeys was there out of Canada.
Canada, yep.
And they do Flying Monkeys and Nickelbrook.
Nickelbrook
does some really good stuff barrel aging.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love Michigan beer. I'm really proud to be working for a Michigan brewery, but there are a lot of good beer out there, and it's nice to have that comparison where you can see, like, a Michigan brewery next to a, say, like, Chimay was there. Like, to see, like, you know, how is Vavan or, like, another Belgian-focused brewery compared to a traditional Belgian brewery, or how is... You know, BrewDog compared to, you know, somebody else in Michigan.
Yeah. I saw that at Great Taste this past year, so that was a kind of a cool comparison.
Yeah.
You know, just to see what's out there.
Yeah.
And what else is out there?
I think it's the largest festival outside of a guild festival, and so it's nice to have that in the mix.
But what are we going to do this year?
Yeah, we're going to see what's going on this year.
Yeah.
We
have to double team.
What a dick move. I'm just going to say it. What a dick move. You can look at a calendar. You can see what's on that weekend.
There was justification from the guild because the weekend before was Mother's Day. And the weekend after, there was some other event. I forgot what it was.
Over in Traverse City.
So either way, the reason they had to pick that weekend if it was going to be in May. And so if you're next June, then you're really close to summer. And if you go back to March, you're really close to...
But April. What about April? You missed a month, man.
Yeah, well, April still sucks in northern Michigan.
It does. You're right. But...
Yeah, that's basically like a
April,
winter fest.
We usually get ice storms in April in northern
Michigan. I was going to say, that's winter light fest up in Traverse City in April.
I mean, I guess we'll see. Like, it's, you know, it's far enough apart from each other where you might see a little bit of a dip, either one. But the problem you're going to have is, like, the breweries that want to do both are going to have to...
Make a decision.
Or they're going to have to spend more money in equipment or... You know, going to have to do, like, package product at Expo. And so nothing really unique happens at Expo or at the Guild.
Or
so
package product at Guild.
Yeah, they're going to have to make a decision based on that. Mm-hmm. And we'll see how it goes this year. Obviously, it's the first year, so, you know, I don't know.
Well, you also, at the Expo, you have volunteers. Like, all the JCs are pouring
for
you.
And that's nice. There's a rep because you don't have to do anything.
Yeah, well at the Guild Fest, you know, you're there with your sponsor team or, you know, your bartenders or whoever. Because, you know, being over in Traverse City, you're probably going to be able to send a few of your staff members that are working the bar over to the festival to work the fest, which you can't do at any of the other festivals unless you wanted to house them for the night.
Yeah.
Over at World Expo, like, you just kind of send your beer and it's good to go. Like, you know, maybe send a banner and, you know, because I don't recall too many jockey boxes there that
we did in Fillmore and stuff like that. But, like, usually – the expo is a one keg thing. Like you bring a keg of each, and that way they don't have to change kegs.
Yep. Mm.
You do the troubleshooting, you get it all set, and you just walk away. I mean, not you're there still, but basically you can walk away.
That's why we were able to do so many interviews.
Right.
Because they're like, yeah, we don't walk away without any issues.
I mean, we're talking about the new event in Traverse City, but I'm more concerned about the changing from a 2-day event to a 1-day event for some of those events. Like that, I'll be more keeping an eye on than the Traverse City, because I personally...
Well, what's your opinion? Because you got to travel to every single one. Yeah, there's not one's close.
Yeah, and I like UP's 1-day because it really is. That's a real burden going all the way up there. So
right.
Works
yeah, but that Friday night's so much fun.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, you know, it's hard to say because, like, we don't have a gigantic setup. Like, I watched your last podcast. You guys were talking about Ordok. Because Ordok and, like, Dark Horse have massive setups.
Shorts.
You know, 3-4 tables, bringing things on trailers. And
pyros.
Those 2-day events justify them bringing those big setups or bringing big crews. With a 1-day event, I don't know how that's going to affect the setups or, you know, the varieties of beer you're bringing. Because you can do Friday releases and Saturday releases, mm-hmm, and now it's just a 1-day release. And so the lines will be longer. I'm not sure how people will So it's like one of those things where we're going to see how people react in this year, and then we'll see how the guild as a whole kind of like
Saturday
takes that information and changes.
Summer and Saturday at winter aren't too bad, but Saturday in Detroit is just such a shit show.
Packed. That's the only one I haven't been to yet, was the Detroit one.
The Detroit one is just always packed, always like nuts to butts. Everyone's right next to each other.
Yep.
Like Friday, that's why I love Friday night festivals, because
so
of Friday
open.
Night, yeah, like you get a chance to be in Detroit at Eastern Market. You get that feel of like, you know, the Phoenix Rising Detroit. But when it's Saturday, it just feels like a shit show.
Yep.
The weather never helps.
I mean,
in
we
Detroit.
Could say that about the
yeah, but this
Expo
is the
too.
First time that I recall that it rained.
It rained last year.
Did it? Was I?
Yeah.
Was I there
at the
last
Easter,
year?
Easter
I know
Market,
I think
it did rain.
I
remember hearing
I think last year was the year I missed, because I think last year was the year I was in Indiana.
And I think the year before was the Faygo.
No, yeah, that was last year.
Yeah,
last year was last year.
Then you were there then.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, you were there.
I don't remember rain though.
I do.
I think it rain must rain at the end. Or
winter
something.
Is still my favorite one by far out of all of them. I love the Winter Beer Fest.
Winter's good. I don't think you were at Sheboygan or obviously Big Buck, but there was that Winter Festival probably 5 years ago, 6 years ago, where it was so cold outside that everyone had to run the beer lines just to keep them from freezing over.
Yeah, they were freezing.
And there was like 6 or 7 breweries that had to close because their lines froze and they couldn't do anything about it. I remember at Greenbush, they had one of their volunteers was literally going through and hitting every spigot just to keep the beer pushing. Because at that time, Greenbush was bringing, you know, 30 beer, like 30 taps.
Right, and then they,
I still remember the flood year, too. That sucked.
What's that?
The flood year.
The flood year, yeah.
Oh,
moved it, right?
They moved it a week.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, we didn't attend that. One
because of it moving.
Yeah, I didn't either. I missed that too.
It moved and we couldn't get to it.
Yeah.
And I actually remember, you know, Ange was on the show at that time, and she had that episode was lost for like 4 months, because she had some very truthful, honest, and you know, really, really good opinions on it, but she didn't want it to fall back on her work because, you know, she's as much as she's representing Better on Draft, she still worked for Brown Iron at that time.
Right.
So, you know, you got to be careful. That's why, like, I do my best. Like, for one, I never drink, like, at a toast site because as much as I'm on my own time, I'm still a representative of the company of Toast wherever I go, which some people take advantage of. Like, I walked by Stormcloud, and they're like, oh, you work for Toast, huh? And I'm like, yes. They were very nice. They didn't ask me any questions. They were very happy with the system. I'm like, oh, that's good. Because there's another brewery that is not happy.
Oh.
I'll tell you guys during the break. But
So are you saying you don't go to places that have Toast? Is that what you're saying?
On purpose, yes.
Okay, got it.
On accident, I've been to Toast bars before.
Sure.
But I'll do my best. Like, if I notice it, I might turn my jacket, if I'm wearing this jacket, inside out right away. Mm-hmm. Or
Stormcloud's got good beer, though. That's the thing.
I like
their beer.
I haven't been to Stormcloud in a few years.
Their service has gone down. I'm not going to lie. But the beer is good.
I went to the only place that I really go to is North Center Brewing over in Northville, Michigan, who's going to be moving soon.
Yes.
Moving.
I'll
leave you with that story.
I'm going to have to remember that whole new address.
I told you.
But... Oh, cool. I actually go to Keesling a lot. which is over in Milwaukee Junction in Detroit.
Okay.
It is probably one of the best cocktail bars in Detroit. If you've never been there, 100% highly suggest it, and it's priced well.
That's
like
good.
Really good cocktails for $10 to $12. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking like high-end liquor, high-end cocktail making. Like we also went to, I think it's called The Keep. It was some bar next to the Checker and GMT over in Detroit that was like an underground bar.
Okay.
And they had really good cocktails over there for cheap. I got a Norton Aquavit. And this dude sitting in front of me is like, who orders that?
You're the first person I've actually seen bottles everywhere. And I'm like, I've never seen a person drink that. So you actually drink that?
Yeah. He's like, I will buy you another shot if you drink it and don't give me like a schnapps face. And so I take a sip and he's like, no, shoot it. And I'm like, you're going to buy me another one if I shoot this and I don't make a face. And he goes, sure. And so I bought it, shot it. And I love it. So I'm like, all right. And he goes, well, then I'm going to buy one too. So he bought one. And he's like, you know what? It wasn't that bad. But yeah, I love. So I've had Norton Aquavit, which is obviously made here in Michigan. Mm-hmm. I've had Schlapschene from Seattle. Which is an Aquavit.
Long Road have Aquavit too, I think, now. Long Road does.
If they have, I haven't had it yet. Yeah. York,
Myers and stuff, but.
York Spirits in Toronto, I've had their Aquavit. And then there was a distillery that's no longer with us that had a dill Aquavit that I brought here.
That was good.
I loved it.
I know. That was really good.
That's interesting.
I'll have to bring it back. But we've been talking a lot. We've been going over. We've got. What am I drinking right now? We're drinking the Straight Out the Kitchen.
Yeah, that's our brew.
Oh, that's not what I'm drinking. No, I'm still drinking the Kayak.
Oh, yeah.
Kayak's good.
I like the Kayak.
I like it.
So what is the Straight Out of the Kitchen?
Straight Out of the Kitchen is our actually a kind of brewed IPA, and we had our malts from Empire Malting Company of Empire, Michigan. We got hops from my local.
What the ability hops. To have that kind of name.
Yeah.
Oh, we're just named after the city.
Yeah. And 45th Parallel hops out of Alpena. And we did we used mashed potatoes out of Elmira. And so basically, the kitchen had the unfortunate duty of making 150 pounds of mashed potatoes. And then we had the unfortunate duty of spooning it into the grain we mashed in.
Oh, my God.
And it was a beautiful discovery from a nano.
How many times did you, get yourself a little bit of the mashed potatoes while you were?
The fun part was the kitchen thought it was a good idea to leave it at the maximum heat setting in the warmer, so it was like 190 degrees, so it was almost too hot to do anything with.
I was gonna say, yeah, that doesn't seem like a like scoopable. It seems like it's almost about to like burn over.
There was some of them that were a little toasty on the top, and yeah. So there's two of us with the kitchen pan scooping it in, and Sam, my assistant brewer, was trying to do more, and he flipped over the whole pan and had to grab it real fast before it poured out through the grates. And so that was a fun brew day.
It's truly not that kind of party.
What would have been like cleaning that out too?
It actually dissolved really well. I mean, granted, the way our system is set up is...
I mean, I guess potato has a lot of water in it.
Yeah. So we have a mash tun, and then we don't have a joined mash lauter tun. It's separate, so we have to pump everything over the lauter. So from all the pumping and all the water it uses, it dissolved really well, and we actually didn't have any issues with the skins or residuals anywhere. It just deteriorated very well. So it turned out
did
nice.
You use like a champagne yeast in this too for the brood?
No, we used just basic 05 American ale yeast.
Okay.
But the starches and enzymes inside the skins and the potato is what really dried it out, and it firmed out pretty much near zero Play-Doh.
Time to make some Thanksgiving beers.
It's not a sweet potato, so it's a little different.
right.
I mean, potato. Like, I still eat potatoes during Thanksgiving.
I do.
Like, well, I'm just saying, like, most beers are sweet potatoes, so that's what's different about. This is regular Idaho.
Like, I'm excited for my one little scoop of mashed potatoes this year.
I'll eat some for you.
See, more of everything on my plate is everything but a scoop of mashed potatoes. It's a mashed potato mountain with a little bit of turkey.
I get a lot of ham, a lot of turkey. I use the Zender seasoning. Because that seasoning
you
goes
are
on.
All about that.
I love that seasoning.
You should try the garlic and wine seasoning from the Cracker Barrel. That stuff is killer.
All right.
I use that on all my chicken and all my everything. My mom sends it up from Florida.
When I grill chicken on the George Foreman, like I instead of like salt and pepper, I put Zender seasoning on it and like bakes into it. And it's so good. We've been talking a lot. By the way,
I'm hungry.
We have this little thing.
Here is Robert with the beer news. Wow.
Coming in hot.
This is how I feel when you laugh into the mic.
Coming in hot with the news.
You gotta laugh, you know.
At least I like my laugh. I like the news.
I didn't say it was a bad laugh. I just said it was a loud laugh.
I know. I do have a very loud laugh.
All right. Guess time to go through some news, as brought to you by Zatuna Liquor, located at 3793 South Rochester Road, just south of M59. Go say hi to Jack.
He's got
some flying buffalo.
So I had the $50 gift card from last week and the $50 gift card from the Jimmy John's Festival, and I was supposed to go out on a Monday to deliver them. I looked outside and I messaged both the winners and I said, I ain't going out today. Legit, I don't know if you guys had the snowstorm. I know it got pretty bad a little bit more north in the thumb, but I think we had about 8 inches, nine inches down here.
Yeah, we had 10 in my backyard.
I'm like, I ain't driving on Detroit streets with Detroit drivers.
Yeah, we didn't have no snow days yet. Last year we had 20.
Jeez.
Damn.
But no, we had probably, in between like the week, we had like, I don't know, 12 inches, and then we had a drift. Benzie, Leland, all Pentalinsa had, I think there were spots where it was 25 inches.
Jesus.
Oh, my God. Oh, the like hell in one, with in spots, that.
And that's where all the vineyards are. So that's
too early.
No.
But for snowmobile season, that's a big hell for us in the north, because it's a big thing up in the north. Is
it's all going to melt next week.
Yeah.
That makes it a wet pack layer. That's perfect.
I don't even know what that means. But Rob, the news.
All right. So with us nearing the end of the 2010s, Pace Magazine created a list of the 50 best American breweries of the decade. And pretty much with the amount of growth the craft beer segment has had in the past 10 years, one would imagine it's tough to not only make this list, but be a brewery that was on this list a decade ago and still be on this list. So I was looking at it a little earlier today, and of the 50, now granted, last decade they only did 25, but on this list of the 50, 9 of them were on the list for the 2000s. So before I get to actually go through the list, here is the criteria. One, how strong is the brewery's beer game today, and how strong has it been throughout the decade? To truly be an assessment of the best breweries of an entire decade, they had to attempt to weigh the contribution made at the beginning of the 2010s the same as the contributions would be toward the end of the decade. Two, how consistent was the brewery during the decade? Three, in what areas did the brewery innovate during the decade? Four, how important was the brewery to its local beer community or to the larger craft beer sphere? And five, that the brewery had to, in almost every case, had to have been around for at least half a decade in order to truly make an impact. So basically, if you go back, and we were talking about it last week, about how many breweries that were in existence, I think was that before when we started the show as opposed to what they are now. From what I looked up, there were about 1,500 breweries in 2009. Obviously, we don't have the numbers for 2019, but as of the end of 2018, we were over 7,400.
Jeez.
We're on par for
7,400. So as far as the list, I'm only going to go from 25 down.
Okay.
I will highlight the ones that were on the list in the 2000s. So starting from 25 and going up, the brewery, Grim Artisanal Burial Beer Company, DeGarde, Three Floyds, which was on the list last time. They were actually number 8 in the 2000s, now at 21. At 20 is Cigar City. 19 is Breakside. 18, Half Acre, 17, Prairie, 16, Triple Crossing, 15 is Trillium, 14 is Russian River, who was 7 last time, 13 is Toppling Goliath, 12 is the Rare Barrel, 11 is Austin Beer Garden, 10 is the Alchemist. IPA Haven, I know.
It's not good beer.
That's what I say too. I think Heady Topper is completely overrated, and I mean Focal Banger is just kind of eh. It's I don't like it.
There At least it's not Follicle Banger.
or Banger.
In Michigan, and even not even in Michigan, because Chicago has such a huge, great New England IPA scene over there.
Mm-hmm.
Alchemist has run its time. It's done.
Yeah, that's what I feel.
Sorry.
So with the rest of it, number 9, Hill Farmstead. 8 is main beer company.
Yes.
7 is side project. 6, which was number 24 on the last decade, Sierra Nevada. 5 is Jester King. Number 4, which was number 2 in the last decade, and really the only one that actually stayed in the top 5, Allagash. 3, Fremont. Number 2, Treehouse. Another IPA haven.
I mean, Treehouse is better than Alchemist.
Treehouse is better than Alchemist, yes. But they do make a shit ton of IPAs, mm-hmm. and it gets a little tired.
Well, so does Half Acre.
Yeah.
I like Half Acre.
Did you mention Half Acre on that list?
Yes. I did mention it. Yeah. Half Acre is number 18.
I went to Half Acre, and I was severely disappointed when I went there. Mind you, that it was probably the 6th brewery I was at.
That's a trend.
I'm noticing a trend. Yeah. Well, that's only 2, so we gotta.
You guys haven't yet, over near Wrigleyville is the Malt Row, mm-hmm. which is a bunch of breweries all on one street.
Right.
Like, you know, you just keep working down Malt Row.
Working down. Yeah.
I wound up, and I can't remember the name of it, but there was after I went to Half Acre, I wound up picking stuff up for Ange. And then I just walked into there was a cider bar right like a block away that had like 100 plus cider options.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I was very happy.
Wow!
All right, I wanted something sweet to end the night. So,
and for number 1 is Firestone Walker.
Oh, that's not surprising.
Yeah, they as far as like the barrel age program that they have, there's some good stuff. And
that stuff sits on the shelf in Phoenix and taunts me with it.
Yeah, when I go out there, I visit my dad out there, or if I visit my brother out in San Fran, I am going for some Firestone.
Let me get
to a couple of the other ones that were on the list the last decade that mm-hmm. made the list this decade, that was not in the top 25. Oscar Blues, who was 16 and fell down to 28. Dogfish Head Adams, which on the for the 2000s was number 1 and fell to 37. Oof. Bells, who was number 11 and dropped to 38.
That's the first Michigan one you mentioned, though, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, I just want to point that out.
Which then leads to San Miguel Rapids,
okay.
which was number 5, and they fell to 41. And the last one being Deschutes, who was 13 and dropped to 47. Now, granted, I mean, in terms of dropping, that's one thing, but to still be on the list.
Right, right.
That's 7,400 plus.
Of 7,400 plus, yes. Yeah. There probably was the same criteria, and they've doubled the list from 25 mm-hmm. to 50. Mm-hmm. But to still have the list and to be a part of that list, I mean, for as many breweries that there are, is pretty damn impressive.
Right.
That's kind
of regardless of where you're at.
Yeah.
You mentioned the 2 Michigan breweries. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll put Michigan in quotes on one of them. But
yes.
Well, as we go into 2020.
Yeah, we go into 2020.
As we go into 2020, the quotes are going to enter,
yeah.
right, the scene.
I mean, in 2020, they're running with the Bulls at that point.
Right, they are. But That's good. But I'm just saying, though, for Bells to still be up there and I know there's been some animosity in the past year, but as a trailblazer in Michigan,
mm-hmm.
I still think that's impressive. But I was surprised that's the only 2 Michigan breweries.
I mean, really,
there's 2 breweries on there or missing on there that I'm kind of shocked
on the 50 because he didn't go over the 26.
Yeah, I've seen the whole list.
Okay,
so
list. Okay.
What 2?
Stone Brewing is not on the
Stone
top.
Stone is not great. On the list. That is correct.
Yeah, it's
New Belgium is not on the top 50 either.
And New Belgium was on the 25 list. I don't think Stone was there because I did not see anything from Stone.
I don't remember how
but
long they've
been New
around.
Belgium was Still in the top 25 in the 2000s. Stone was on the list. Stone was number 20. In the 2000s, New Belgium was 18. Right,
yeah,
and sandwich in between them was Jolly Pumpkin.
What's that?
I said sandwich.
They haven't done anything.
La Folie for New Belgium. No. The La Folie series is pretty good.
That's like the one sour that actually got me into sours.
Okay. Yeah. Didn't you do a beer fest where you did all sours?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's pretty much what I said. It's like anytime if And going back to, you know, complaining about the days and them changing it, that I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to go to Winter Beer Fest, but I've now found that I'm going to make it so that Winter Beer Fest will be the place where that is all I drink is sours. And, you know, I hate the segment. I've never really been a big fan of sours, and then La Folie just kind of changed it for me.
Okay.
But there's still probably 80% of them out there that I just don't like.
I've done that once with IPAs at a fall beer festival, and I'll never do that again. I just cannot.
Ruined it, huh?
I just don't like them. I have IPAs? Given, honest to God, I have done 201 plus fucking episodes of this show. If I'm not liking IPAs now, liking IPAs anytime
soon.
You don't
like M43?
M43 is okay. Like, it's drinkable. It's definitely a little juicier, a little more hazier. Like, IPAs that are giving me the more piney, not citrusy. Like, here's the weird thing, and here's where you're going to be like, your taste buds are fucked, because it's true. I hate Two Hearted. I love Centennial from, how do you say it?
Santa Grand Rapids.
Thank you.
Santa Grand Rapids.
It's the same beer. It's the same beer.
Different alcohol content.
Well,
go to Grey Line and you'll find a similar beer, but I don't know if you'll find a similar beer with Bell's.
I like Centennial. I don't like all. I don't like what's the Norm's
Raggedy
Session,
Ass.
Norm's Session, Raggedy the Ass? Session one.
Norm's IPA?
Mm.
No. Whatever.
Mr. Blue Sky?
No. We'll keep going. We'll get
the session at Griffin Claw. We'll get it. I didn't like either. Like, it's just IPAs. They're either too piney or they're too bitter or.
Sounds like you're too.
Norm's Gateway.
Norm's Gateway. Okay.
Gateway.
You don't want to have Norm's pumpkin spiced IPA?
Hey, give me some of that. Give me some of that.
Hey, let's send Dan a couple.
Yeah.
Does he like pumpkin?
Dan loves pumpkin.
Oh, Dan and I would have gotten along real well.
And I guess a couple other things in terms of the list from the 2000s, there were two of them that were in the top five that did not make the list at all, being Victory Brewing, which was number four.
Where are they out of?
They're out of Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And Avery, which was number three.
Ooh.
And Avery was completely off the list.
Well, they were also bought by Anheuser, wasn't it? InBev bought Avery.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not top craft. It's not top craft. It's top breweries.
Well, I know. I'm saying, like, that's, you know, I think that changes things also to some degree when you do that.
Wicked Weed's on the list.
Well, and obviously Founders is on the list too. So I mean, that's macro buying a smaller guy. But what I just mean is, like, it seems like when you look at Michigan craft beer, there is a really huge focus on the Michigan market.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have Michigan breweries that are outside the state, of course, but there's so much pride in the Michigan craft beer among Michigan consumers and Michigan, you know, brewery owners and workers. And when you look at brands that come out of Michigan, people like those brands. But they don't care how many states they are in or how big their national market is. It's like it seems like it's a different viewpoint between the consumers in Michigan versus the consumers in other states.
But I guess in other than obviously Founders and Bell's being I guess the gross exception, do you see a Michigan market that just scoffs at Michigan breweries that go to other states? Because obviously we just had Ellison, who is now setting up shop in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. And we've had the issue with Shorts, Michigan only,
say,
Michigan forever.
That was the one I'd have an issue with.
Now, obviously, yeah, they put that on their labels. Yep. So when you put it on your labels and then, oh, hey, we're expanding
to a sellout.
Yep. I mean,
I think you need to listen to the Scott Newman Bale episode of
what episode
Andre.
Is that? What
I
number? What number?
You know,
I'll give
shorts,
it to you in a second.
You know,
I'm just saying, as a
shorts,
consumer, though,
like as a consumer of like Shorts, for example, saying they're a Michigan craft, you know, that's great. That was great. You know, we were really proud of it as like a consumer in Michigan. When they decided to go out and partner with Heineken/Lagunitas, the way they verbally went about it, they never said, like, hey, we're still a Michigan company, which is like, hey, we're expanding. It wasn't like they didn't deal with that whole.
They didn't save face.
It wasn't save face. It's just like they just kind of skipped over the fact that they, for years, had said we're Michigan only. Mm-hmm. And then they went to
199.5. Segment two. First segment's with Middle Coast, second segment's with Scott Newman.
That's Detroit.
And I think I think that's the thing.
Recent.
Is,
yep.
Is okay. I think we're so spoiled with the amount of beer options that we have that we don't want to share with other states.
And I mean, I still try Shorts beer. I'm not saying I don't, and I'm not saying like I think that Shorts is anything less of a brand. Just like, you know, Founders is still brewed in Michigan, and they still have Michigan employees and Michigan brewers. So it's still a Michigan made beer until they move production out of Michigan and bring that product back in, which who knows if that'll happen or if it does.
Speaking of beer, I'm empty.
Same.
Party.
I got it.
I need a little bit of that banana coconut over here.
So, what are you? Oh, you're pouring the vanilla,
the marshmallow vanilla.
Marshmallow.
Oh shit!
Sign me
up. Right. While he's pouring that, we're gonna take a break in just a minute. But I kind of want to go over. So we had a Vine Pair did an article about the 12 best macro lagers, and this is interviews.
Yes.
These were interviews of brewers and what their go to macro lager is. So some of them are pretty standard, but what is your go-to macro lager? You go to, I'm sure you're familiar with what a chip bar is. Yeah. You go to a chip bar and someone gives you a chip and they're like, all right, here you go. What are you buying?
PBR. And that's most Michigan brewers that I know are friends and that I drink with. It's typically PBR is the safe bet for most of them.
It's a beer flavored beer. You know, I mean, and that's the thing.
It's a good price point, too, on it. Yeah. That's the hard thing to beat. It's like a 30-pack for, you know, $18.99.
Or the 99-pack.
Yeah, I'm still waiting to see that because just I want to do it once and just ride it like a nuclear and Dr. Strangelove.
what about you, Rob? What's your go-to macro?
Honey Brown.
Ooh, Newcastle?
I mean, yeah.
No, Honey Brown
I'll take either one.
That's its own.
They're their own.
I'm trying to think of the – I'm looking it up right now. Honey Brown Ale is done by –
Newcastle.
No, is it not? It's not Newcastle.
I'm pretty sure it's Newcastle.
Newcastle.
Our Newcastle has a honey brown at least. Yeah. But
While he was looking that up, in terms of the 99 pack, we are one of the states that won that lottery that is getting it. So it's in 15 states: Texas, Massachusetts, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Minnesota, Florida, New York, South Carolina, Montana, Vermont, California, Wisconsin, Iowa, Arkansas, or Colorado.
You're probably going to have to go to Escanaba to get it.
I'm calling Party Foul. It's brewed by Dundee Brewing in Rochester, New York. That is not a macro.
All right, then I'll go PBR.
Okay.
I'm good with PBR, which I think that was the popular one that was chosen in that article, or at least tied.
Miller Lite.
PBR.
If I have the opportunity, I'm going Molson.
Like Triple X Molson or regular Molson?
Regular Molson.
Golden?
Molson.
Golden's good.
Molson Ice.
If I don't, and it's just like American macros, then I'm going with Miller Lite for sure.
See, like, I've always, like, I obviously in college, I drank Bud Light because it was cheap and I was a college kid.
At 21.
I can never, I can never like Miller Lite because it just tasted soapy to me. Like, there was somebody in that to me,
didn't
like,
say it tasted
and
great.
I had friends.
I just said that's my go-to.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, to me, it's like, right, I couldn't right, even. Right. It's one of those beers, like, if someone gave it to me for free, I'm like, no, that's all right, I'll go buy some. Because I couldn't do it to me. To me, the flavor was just offsetting.
Yeah.
Just like Milwaukee's Best. First of all, you don't want to touch.
That's a party foul.
I don't want to drink Irish Spring.
Free
someone
beer?
Someone gives you a free beer.
Free beer.
And you said, I'll go buy something. That's a party foul.
As a consumer, I have a choice to drink whatever but I want and buy whatever I want.
He can put whatever he wants in his body. But it's free beer.
Weren't you talking about, like, hams in the last video?
That's probably Matt.
That
was Matt Bush.
I don't want to be reminded of an Irish Spring commercial when I'm drinking a fucking beer.
Now, if this was a couple years ago, you could go to the Vegas Club in downtown Vegas and get hams for a quarter a can.
I know a few places you can get hams easy in cans and on draft and where I live. But
well, I think hams is also mostly in the mystery beer.
The mystery variety pack or whatever.
There's at the Folling Warehouse over in Hamtramck.
The mystery vending machine.
Yes.
I love that's a cool thing. Idea. I think it's such a cool idea.
Mm-hmm. All right. We are going to take a quick break once I get the music up. So we'll be right back with the Better on Draft podcast.
Riding that wave, I got my money where my mind is, and I like It takes me all.
We are back. Better on Draft Podcast, episode number 201.
And mics are hot.
Ow. So let's see here. You poured the black and tan.
Really quickly, before we get to the black and tan, that stout, the Moonless Night, top notch.
Very good.
I like very it. Good.
And at 4%.
No, that one's 7.5.
Oh,
that was seven and a half.
Yeah, doesn't taste like 7.5. The one I talked about was a snowshoe stout. So, because we used to have two stouts on, and it was very competitive against each other, and so we had a lot of calls for porters, and so we decided to switch one to a porter and keep our because our house is a house stout is a milk stout.
Okay,
so the one we just had was a porter because it was Baltic, right? Okay,
yeah, that one was not 7.5.
Yeah, we lagered it and everything, so we had 7.5.
Yeah, it is.
There's just a lot of sweetness. Like
I know, yeah, but you did a really awesome job of hiding it.
That's
really good.
Yeah. I have a couple sitting in bourbon barrels.
I mean,
at
7.5%, this is something that I would love to drink, and I could drink all day because I'm not going to crush it. It's way too sweet for me to crush it.
I think that's like a good, and it's not like the winter warmer thing. It's a good Christmas beer. I could drink that during the Christmas season.
I think next week I need to bring it in. I haven't tried this year's yet, but Bell's Winter White has always been my like go-to favorite winter
Bright
beer.
Bright White,
yes.
They just rebranded that.
The Bright White. I have not had a chance to try it yet, but I do want to try
You've
it.
Never had it?
This
year. Or you're saying the rebrand. Okay.
Yes, I've had Bell's Winter White. That's my.
I was going
to
say.
I went to Iron Horse yesterday, and I saw two Bell's handles. So okay. I realized looking at the list, because one was too hard, and I'm like, oh, the other one's got to be the seasonal that just says random seasonal on the menu. And I'm like, oh, what's your seasonal? And they're like, Bell's. And I'm like, and they're like, official. And I'm like, oh, fuck me.
And you know what? What's happening is a lot of places aren't cleaning their lines.
Oh, yeah.
So they pick up the Bell's Official in the Two Hearted or whatever they replace it with. And then people are like, oh, they changed the recipe. And it's like, no.
I'm not going to lie.
Your father's root beer did the same thing to so many draft lines.
Oh.
I remember they had Rochester Mills at the bar near me after that. And it kept on being root beery. And I was like, nope.
I went to when I went to Iron Horse, I wound up having El Rojo from Griffin Claw, and I forgot how good that beer is.
That's a good one.
I think I skunked a couple cans on accident. I may have picked them up for disc golf and didn't drink them and left them in my car. And then, I remember having a bad experience. I'm like, you know what? I'll try it again. Had El Rojo. I mean, it was priced right. That's the thing for me is with craft beer is like it needs to be priced right these days. Like I don't want to like it could be the best beer in the fucking world or the highest ABV. I'm not in the mood to spend a high amount on a craft beer. If I'm there for one beer, I want to drink the beer and I want to have fun.
What's your price point? What's your like high low?
6 to 8.
You're okay with paying?
And anything over 8 for a pint?
Okay.
We have some words.
Sure.
Like I'm not in the mood to buy a bomber or I'm not in the mood to buy a 23 or a bottle. Mm-hmm. Like I want to draft to the point where. If I'm with like my girlfriend, I can share it I'll stick to a style and not necessarily a brand. So if I'm going out, I'm going to 8 Degrees or something like that. I'll look at the styles before I even look at the brands or anything like that and be like, all right, here's the 6 beers that I'll like. Let's move over to what they are. Oh, I've had that. I haven't had that. I might try that. But I think, you know, we kind of talked about it last week, about craft beer fatigue and you kind of mentioned it during the crosstalk in between the shows, just like you can only drink so much beer and so much craft beer and so much like we have the guy. I think his Instagram is called 1000 Beer Year. And you can see he is struggling to fit. And he did it last year in 2018. And so he did like 1300 or 1400 different beers in 2018. And this year it's a struggle. And I remember trying it, and it was actually that first time that I went up and I did Snowbelt and Sheboygan and stuff. And I'm like, you know what? I'll do 1,000 beers in a year. This was a year and a half, 2 years ago. And sure enough, like, just that first time, I'm like, no, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I just want to drink a beer that I like. And I feel like it's a chore to try beers now. I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but it is a chore to, like, just get a flight or get a...
I'm still doing it.
Well, you're in your
20s. True, I am in my 20s. Damn straight.
So Tara and I, we did New England, and we, as I said, we did Harpoon. We did...
Well, you did for your honeymoon or, like, a vacation where you just toured the state.
So, yeah, that was in 2017. We did literally maybe 2 to 3 breweries a day. Nice. And that was... It was fun. It was getting kind of... tough towards the end, but a couple weeks ago we did Vermont, which had Harpoon. We did Portsmouth Brewing over in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, which is cute little town. And
good,
you know,
breakfast food there.
Yep. And
they make some good pancakes out there.
You know, we were still doing flights, you know, so it's I get it, you know, when you've been doing it long enough. It can be, but, you know, I look at it now, you know, we've been doing this now for 4+ years now, and, you know, there's too much good beer to be tried, you know. It's, you don't do the chase anymore. We talk about the chase. We don't do the chase anymore.
We don't do the chase.
Yeah, we don't do the chase anymore, and I think that makes it better.
It was last week. What was I drinking at the beginning? I was drinking a Newcastle Brown.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was so good. And I'm like, I don't know why I don't drink this enough. And then I realized because I'm trying 500 fucking other beers.
Well, I mean, that kind of goes back to the conversation that, you know, from last week with Aaron and Eric about breweries bringing their flagship beers to Beer Fest and, you know, everybody going crazy about our list and our list talking about flagship beers. And
not our list. Was someone in this room's list.
Ed's list. About, you know, going to flagship beers. Ed.
I give him the reins for the first time and he gets shit on.
What are you talking about? I get shit on. What do you mean? What do you mean? I'm new to me. New to me.
Oh. Really? You didn't see it? I mean, so, go ahead.
And we'll so people did not like the fact that you put tiramisu stout on your list.
Oh, okay.
Because it is readily available at your nearest store like Zatuna Liquor.
Sure. And I won't get into the nitty-gritty of why I included tiramisu stout. But I, at the same time with that list, I included beers that were available Friday and Saturday. And Ellison had brews that were available only Friday and only Saturday. And I wanted to make sure.
They had two separate lists?
Well, they had like Friday only beers and only Saturday. So I wanted to make sure that
Gravitational Attraction and I can't remember the other one.
Morally Compromised.
I think that's a fantastic beer.
But I wanted to make sure that the reader, no matter which day where they were going, could have access to the beer I was mentioning.
Fair enough.
So that's why I mentioned tiramisu, because it's my favorite from Ellison.
It's a good beer.
Kyle Van Deventer pretty much settled the situation.
He said
during our Griffin Claw episode, which was 199 or 198, he mentioned that if I get the opportunity to give someone their first try at Mr. Blue Sky, I want to give them that opportunity at a beer festival. Mm-hmm. And it kind of like it brought into realization that you don't need to try the rarest and biggest and, you know, singlest, like,
Breach,
because you had Frankenmuth's Batch 69, I think, on there too.
The Detroit one.
I think you had their IPA on there.
I had their Christmas Town.
Oh, Christmas
so
Town.
I was like, cue the haters, because I knew they were coming. I knew they were coming. As a woman who drinks beer, as I've been called in the past,
a soccer mom who drinks beer,
and still a woman.
What I can tell you guys, like when I was at Sheboygan doing beer festivals, we would always bring Blood Orange Honey, Blueberry. Usually the IPA, and then we'd bring like one of our seasonals in Oktoberfest or whatever it was.
Right.
I didn't hear Lighthouse Amber in there. I'm kind of upset.
It's not a very good festival of beer. Like there's
not
a big draw
for
it. Yeah. Well, don't drink me. But you would have people coming like constantly back for Blood Orange Honey, which is a very popular beer for them in their market. And we would say to them, like, you know, like you've come back 3 times now for Blood Orange Honey. Why don't you try out the seasonal or try out one of the other beers? Like, no, I just like it so much. And, like, you can get it at Meijer or Walmart.
Yeah.
Not Walmart, but anywhere. It's like, you come to a beer festival to try new stuff, you know. But those flagships, like, we would, at Big Buck, would bring back the raspberry beer that's been around Big Buck since the 90s.
Okay.
And you'd have people say, like, I met my wife on this beer at Big Buck back in 97.
Meaningful.
So like, that nostalgia has a lot of meaning for people, too. So it's.
Here's the thing also, and I'll let you go after this, Rob. Like, yeah, sure, you can get it at, but you might have your first time drinking that beer at the festival.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you might not be shot. Like, you might get daunted. Like, it's a daunting thought to go into a Meijer now or a Kroger now and see the craft beer aisle. And you're like, all these choices, what's good, what's bad, what's, I don't understand. I'm going to go buy my Killian's. Like, that's right. Honest to God. Like, that's how I feel when I go to a lot of bars these days. When, like, if I go to, like, 8 Degrees or something like that and I want to try something new and I don't see anything new and I'm like, all right, well, I'm just going to have a style that I – or a beer that I know that I like, because I'm not going to go try some IPA that I know I'm going to hate or some 18% barrel-aged Prairie Bomb Christmas Thanksgiving
Give me the basic Becky,
cranberry.
Man. I want that. So that's here, me, though. Well,
so here, let me ask this question. Being that where we're at in Michigan, Tri-County, well, let's include Livingston and Washtenaw, you know, those, the five counties.
The Quint counties.
Do you suppose that, you know, because of where we're at and how many breweries there are in this area specifically, that we're just getting tapped out? And it's getting harder and harder, and now we're starting to go back.
We're not Grand Rapids.
I was going to say, you're missing the whole Grand Rapids market.
We're not Kent County.
You're not Kent County.
So when I was in San Francisco, I purposely tried to find something from California.
You're in San Francisco. You're in Fieldworks territory.
Yeah. Well, they had the Belching Beaver.
Belching Beaver.
Yeah. So they had that.
You got Temescal right there too.
I went to a bar when I was in San Francisco because I had to drive from Sacramento at night to San Francisco to fly out the next morning. I actually had an Aquavit there too.
I know it's just when you go to a bar here in Michigan, it's maybe getting a little harder just to, you know, find that craft beer. Like, oh, then I'm gonna move to then you're gonna go to Newcastle, which is absolutely nothing wrong with Newcastle.
I think because we have drank so much and we've drank so much craft beer in our time doing the show. Mm-hmm. Prior to this, I mean, Nick used to come over to my parents' house when we would play beer pong in the basement. We would be playing beer pong with fucking Dark Horse's Trey, like Final Absolution, Armageddon. Like, we would have
Grand Cru Armageddon playing beer pong.
We would have all of these amazing beers while playing beer pong.
Burnett's and root beer.
Yeah, because I didn't want to drink beer, so they put Burnett's and
root beer.
But no, like I've been drinking craft beer for God knows how long. I have been drinking non-standard beer, you know, since I was 17, 18, you know, going to Canada.
Well,
at 19.
Canada.
Sometimes.
Like, it's these crazy, like, I either stick to my stand, like, any malt-forward beer, so any browns, any ambers, any alt, like, you're not going to find any alts, but ESBs, those kinds of beers. I'm not going to go for your lager because I don't trust your lager. Like, if I want to go to a brewery, I might go for your lager, but if I'm going to, you know, Brown Iron Brew House with 69 taps, like, I'm going to be like, what the fuck? There's so many beers here.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's not as bad at, say, like Dead Bear, which is kind of up by you.
I like Dead Bear.
No, Travis up there.
The food is amazing up there. Mm-hmm. I like the food. Like Dead Bear, like, okay, you have your few Dead Bears and then you have a pretty good solid Michigan rotation of beers. If I don't see a style I like a Dead Beer, I'm going to go for the Oberon, or I'm going to go for, you know, a beer that I like. Hell yeah.
Really? I will try the fuck out of everything you have to offer.
I'll do that at home with Hopcat.
You can't get Dead Beer at Hopcat.
Here's the problem, and we're going to go back to my Half Acre trip. I went to Half Acre, and out of the, I would say about 16 taps they had, 15 were some form of pale ale. Either pale ale, IPA, DIPA. Like, I just did not. I wanted something that wasn't that.
Right.
Sure.
And there are breweries that sadly thrive on it, which is fine. Your Alchemist, Trillium,
Stone.
You know, they make other beers, but that's not what they're known for. And I'm not going to be able to find it, you know, in a random store.
Right.
So I would rather, if I don't see a style that I like, I'm not going to go for that beer anymore. And I like a lot of styles. Really, anything that's not in the pale ale category, I'm going to go. I'll try your lager. I'll try your Kolsch. I'll try your amber, your blonde, your brown, your all these other beer types. But if I just see three IPAs and a pale ale, I'm going to be like, all right, I'm going to go.
You're turned off.
I'm going to go to Bell's.
Oh, okay.
I think a lot of time when you think of like the whole we're talking about like craft fatigue and beer fatigue, it's not so much that your palate's tired, it's that you're mentally tired. You go to a beer store, and there literally is just insane amount of options.
Mm-hmm.
A, you have to remember what you've had if you're looking for something new.
Did you get some of this, by
yes,
the way?
Yes, I did.
Okay,
yeah,
because it's 12.5%.
My rear beer shipment. I've actually had that mailed to me.
Yeah, we need to talk about that in a minute, but go ahead.
I was going to say, that's a plug. We got to
throw the I was gonna let him finish before we got to that.
Sure. But like, I think the biggest thing is like I dropped beer off on the way down here, and I went to the store, first time I've ever been before, and I just looked at it. I'm like, there is so much here. And I'm just looking around like, I don't have time to figure this out.
Mm.
And I'm looking around like, I'm looking for something that it just blows me. Like, I haven't seen it. Like, I got to go. That's what it was. Like, I just have to go
because
I have to drive. Because I had to drive. I'm like,
sure,
I had to get down here.
Sure.
I'm like, I just.
Now, here's the thing is that if you have someone that's a proper liaison in the beer world, for instance, I used to go to Merchants like once every 3 months and buy $200 worth of beer and stock up my fridge and craft beer. Now, for this is, mind you, 2008, 2009, 2010, when, yes, Zatuna Liquor existed, but they weren't selling singles.
Mm-hmm.
Merchants was the closest place that would sell singles of both import and craft. Everything that they had, you could buy in singles, so I would go to Merchants. And Annette May used to work there, and Annette May, who was local, works at Schoolcraft College, who is one of our former sponsors. She is very, very knowledgeable of beer. So when I can go through and I can be like, all right, this is the kind of beer I want or this is the style I want, we can go through the entire category of what they have or what they want or, you know, oh, well, if you liked this the last time, I can go through here. And when we talk about, mind you, I don't know how he keeps it up in his brain, but when we talk about Jack over at Zatuna Liquor, this dude knows you. And if you've talked to him once, twice, three times, you mentioned two beers that you like, 9 out of 10 times, his suggestion is going to be good. I will put my name, I'll put my show, I will put my stake on that because that is how good he is at figuring out your palate and like making suggestions. And it's crazy because he doesn't try all those beers.
Right.
He doesn't know all them.
He does his research.
Exactly. Yeah. And he does his research. He listens to you. He talks to you as much as he talks and talks and talks and talks.
I got out in 10 minutes.
Ooh. Wow, you're lucky.
I mentioned better on draft. Got my little special. And
special?
I got out.
Special? There's nothing.
No, no, it is. It still exists.
Oh, okay.
What are you doing?
I haven't been up there in a while.
Okay. I've only been there once, so
like,
now I'm willing to...
Like, the dude saw me for the first time in probably like a year and a half at Detroit Beer Fest, and he was like, hey, Rob. I was like...
South of 59.
Well, no, that's the memory, though.
His memory is impeccable.
But when you have that kind of liaison that can direct you to the proper beers, when you go to Kroger, you go to Meijer, you go to... I was about to say Farmer Jack, but they don't exist.
Damn, I miss Farmer Jack.
You go to these mega stores, you know, Walmart, whatever. Nobody there knows.
Right.
You know, unless you run into a rep that might be able to help you, like if a Powers rep or a Fabiano Brothers rep is there, that might be able to help.
Yeah.
But their standard store rep is not there. He's busy doing 10,000 other things.
Right.
Yeah. You go to these stores like Action Liquor. You go to Finesse. You go to these places where they know a little bit more and can help guide you. But if they don't have that sales personality to help you, you're shit out of luck.
Right.
And at that point, you're shopping by yourself.
Yeah. And at that point, then I'm going to buy the standard, you know, true, like whatever I want, like Newcastle or
that's what you're doing, though. That's what you're doing. I'm not.
I can't.
I'm
can't
checking
just...
I'm trying to find that big buck. I'm trying to find that next best thing.
Yeah, but I have people to help me find that thing.
I don't need that, though. I can just find it myself.
I want.
Untapped is awesome for that.
Keeps track.
It keeps track what you drank.
Keeps track what I drank.
Yes. I don't do any more grading on anything. I just check beers in. I don't do any scores anymore.
I use
track of what I had.
I haven't used Untapped in a long time for not the show. But you can like the show Bod Podcast, BODPODCAST, to find out what we drank on the show.
Yep.
But I used to rate like 5, we'll drink again, 3, we'll try again, 0, don't drink again. Right. And that's how I would rate everything, just so I knew I would never make that mistake again. And I understand what you're saying. But with craft beer and the craft beer industry itself, like there's so many choices and so many good options that if I'm not necessarily being sold, but if I'm not being like guided towards that, I'm not going to try your beer to try your beer, especially if I'm not going to Zatuna or somewhere that sells singles. Because if I saw your six pack of, you know, I'm just going to take this first one right here, Tree Stand Pilsner, I'm going to be honest, I'm not going to drink this. I'm not going to take this. I'm going to go find something that's a little bit more towards my malt category or my darker beer category.
I'll drink it.
But that's the thing is that like there's so many bad pilsners out there.
True.
And I don't want to have to weed through all the bad pilsners and the bad lagers to find the good one. Like Tree Stand.
True.
Because obviously the cost of a craft lager or craft pilsner versus your macro is a pretty good difference in price. And so if you make a mistake with, say, like a macro pilsner, you're like, all right, whatever. You make a mistake with a craft pilsner at double the price, and your six pack is $12 or whatever. You're like, wow, I wasted $12 on something that.
That's why the singles market is so good.
Yeah, that's exactly. I mean,
well, I would spend 10% more per bottle. So if you know if it's $6 for a six pack, I would pay $1.10 per bottle. Like I would pay a 10% surcharge just to have one bottle versus.
I agree.
Six.
I agree.
Yeah. And that's I think a lot of people started realizing that market. Went 8 degrees, built an entire business off of that market.
That's true.
Because 8 degrees, you know, the Ferndale location, and I can't tell you how many times I've asked Tim, can I break this six pack? Well, what about this four pack? It's in a box. Or what about this one? It's in a plastic carrier. Like he didn't care.
Yeah.
Because he marked it up obviously per single, and you were able to try so much more. And I think having that luxury between merchants and then 8 degrees and then Zatuna, I'm just tired.
Yeah.
I just want the same styles. I just want the same beers. But, I mean, this show allows me to try a lot of beers that I'll never try. But when I go to a festival, I'm ready to try. Like, I literally control F'd on the PDF and typed in ALT for alt beer. I typed in ESB. I typed in mild. I typed in these styles that I want to try.
Too. Right.
I
should have thought
of that. What's that?
I could have brought the ESB we have too. I forgot about that.
ESB is really, really good, but I feel
another category people forget about.
I think people forget about it, but I think you know as much as a lot of brewers will go and try another brewer's lager to see how good they are as a brewer. I think the ESB is right up there in regards to a style of beer where you can really fuck that beer up, and it tastes terrible.
Right,
that's like what, like Kolsch is for me. Like if I see you make a Kolsch and nothing's in it. That's the first beer I'm trying at every brewery I go to because if you can make a clean Kolsch with nothing in it, then like I have faith in everything else you're making is going to have a good chance of being good.
Right.
Rob, I've been talking a lot. What are we drinking?
That's right. Well, we are drinking. This was the Taste of Tavor for this week. This is the one that won the vote. So from Pajala, straight out of Estonia, hitting the Baltic states, is the Cherry Banger. Which is an imperial stout with cherries, chocolate, and vanilla. So this is one of the ones that Tavor had sent to us. So for those of us who are interested, Tavor is a beer. I guess you could say it is a beer delivery service. You can
What's
go
a
on
Vanilla Pod.
It's a pod with vanilla in it.
It's
a pod of the vanilla beans. It's
a pod of vanilla beans. But does it have the beans in it, or is it just the pod?
That, I don't know. I don't speak.
That would make sense. That if it's the pod, then it has the beans in it. It's intact. It hasn't been cracked.
I mean, really, then it doesn't. I feel like that's just a waste of the vanilla. Because if you
don't necessarily.
Have the price of vanilla, you want to use as much as
you
can. Because it's not cheap.
Well, I mean, I feel like the pod's going to encase the bean and not really explode the vanilla flavor in it.
The couple of people I've seen do things is I've seen people cut them open, take the beans out, use the pods. I've seen people just cut it open with everything still in there and use it. I've seen people use, you know, so there's so many different ways to do it. Mm-hmm.
Well, I would ask you, but you don't speak Estonian, so.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. No habla.
I definitely get the cherry in this for sure.
Yeah, for sure. The cherry is there.
And they actually, that brewery did a couple different versions of that that I've had, and it was they were all really good. I don't think I had the cherry one though yet. So
Well, now you
but
did.
Tavor is definitely out there. Like I said, you can get the app through iTunes or I guess the Apple iStore or Android. Give you the ability to purchase some of the beers that are out there.
Can I get this on my?
You might be able to get in there, BlackBerry. And basically, like I said, you can purchase the beers that are out there.
What about
they
my
will,
Windows phone?
Yeah, maybe your Windows phone, too.
Judging now times two.
But whatever beer that you get out there, you can have that shipped to you for the low, low price of $14.90 every shipment. They also have a subscription service where you can get 6, 8, or 12 beers every month, 2 months or 3 months, which I believe for those, they do not charge shipping for those. There have been a lot of things have been popping up lately between the 12 days of Beer Mist to a 2013 The Abyss from Deschutes.
Ooh, I saw that come out.
Which
yep.
is pretty damn hit. They actually had Fremont Dark Star this past week, which, yeah, I partook on that stuff. but the promo code is still out there, promo code ROBEAR, which will give you a $10 credit for the first $25 that you spend towards beer. And that is for new users only. I actually need to get in touch with them to see if – I think we've got enough new users now that I think we need to come up with hopefully a new promo code.
So now, ROBEAR, how do you spell ROBEAR?
You spell that R-O-B-E-A-R.
Thank you.
And you also spell Tavour, T-A-V-O-U-R.
Maybe we should just call it Rob Ear.
Rob
Ear. Yeah, Rob Ear.
But definitely look out for I got to figure out what I'm going to do for Taste of Tavour next Tuesday as we put
out?
That out there.
Hmm? Are you out or do you still have beers to pick from?
I'm not out. They've given me more than enough. Okay. And definitely shout out to Ashley at Tavour for just this shipping beer. It's like I was not expecting the amount that she has shipped to us. So I think as a group is very appreciative to everything that they've sent to us. But I think there's a Hubbard's Cave Simcoe that I've not broken out with yet between that. And I might put that up against the Berliner that lost this week.
Oh, okay.
And see which one of those get picked.
Hubbard's Cave
pick.
Through Tavour is good.
Yeah. Yeah, without
right.
a doubt.
So you have that discovery option, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of cool.
But it's there. So get you some. Get on to Tavour and buy you some damn beer.
Did we open all the big buck?
Yes, we did.
Good.
Damn.
Just making sure. That's going to do it for us. Better on Draft Podcast, episode 201. Thank you to our sponsors. We have Zatuna Liquor over in Rochester Hills, North Center Brewing over in Northville, Tavour, the Ferndale Set. Why do I feel like I'm missing one? I don't think I am.
I think
that's everything. Sure. That's everything. Better on Draft. Better on Draft on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Bod Podcast on Untappd. You can follow us and listen to us every Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern on Facebook. Join us in the chat. Doug, where can they find Big Buck?
Oh, man.
You listen to the show, so you know this is the end of the show. Like, I would think you would be like a little
you can
more.
Find here in Royal Oak, you can find it at Campbell's Party Store. On 8th Street, I believe, I think.
Okay.
Campbell's and 8th. Oliver T. Market in Genesee County and Grand Blanc. Ideal Party Store in Bay City. And the further you go north, you might as well just come to the brewery and taste it on draft.
The brewery's off of what exit?
It's exit 282 on I-75 in Gaylord, Michigan. You can't miss the giant big bottle.
All right. Social medias, where can they find you?
You can find us at The Big Buck Brewery for both Instagram and Facebook.
All right. And that's going to do it for us. Better on Draft. Ed, thank you very much for swinging
in. Thank you for
having
me.
Of course. I'm going to regret that decision later. no matter yeah. what you think of your beer, we think it's... Better on Draft. Have a good night.
Peace.